Center. This is Seth Wires from Channel 9. We're here at That Conference. On the That Conference stage, this is where people eat all their food. I think I have some good roll. You'll be able to see all this good stuff. But we also have a cool little fire with some nice sound going here. So tell us who you are and what you do, bud.
Hey, so I'm Sam. I'm Sam Basu. I work as a developer advocate for Telerik.
Awesome. So one of Microsoft's partners, obviously.
Yep.
And you had some talks that you gave here, didn't you?
We did. I talked about Kendo UI, which is our open source JavaScript and HTML5 framework, and also NativeScript, which is something we're very excited about. It's about going cross-platform mobile with JavaScript.
I see. So tell me about NativeScript. How does it compare to TypeScript? Is it the same thing or is it something else?
You could actually use TypeScript. It's funny that you bring that up. So it's a whole new framework.
Okay.
And I'm going to say these words slowly and let it sink in.
Okay.
So NativeScript is a framework that allows you to build cross-platform native mobile apps with JavaScript.
So that's interesting.
It
so
is.
You say native, but I hear JavaScript, and my brain is like, well, there's a disconnect.
What happened?
How do you connect these two?
This is like what Scott Hanselman says, like your brain should like explode and leak out of your ears, right. That kind of thing. So let's back up. So mobile strategies are hard to get right, depending on which type of app you want to build.
Sure.
If you have the time and the resources and the know-how, go native. Mm-hmm. Best possible user experience and
sure.
so on, but you need to have knowledge in three different platforms, Windows, iOS,
it's
and
almost like you have
Android.
To have three different teams.
Three different teams. Yeah. If you can afford it, go for it.
Right.
And like for some down to the close to the metal games, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
If you really want to go cross-platform, you have a couple of choices.
Mm-hmm.
One is you could reuse your web skills, HTML5, CSS, and JavaScript,
mm-hmm.
and use Cordova,
mm-hmm.
and package them up as an app, put it in the store. Most users will possibly not know if they're using a new phone. You're reusing some of your web assets and kind of bundling them up and making them an app, which runs in a giant web view.
Okay.
That works for most maybe line of business apps because it gives you an immediate presence in the store and so on. The one downside
is
some users, especially if you're on an older device, you're going to see a little performance hit.
Yeah.
Because it's not truly native. You're running inside of a huge web view. So that's one approach. If you are a C# developer on the Microsoft stack, we know Xamarin is very popular,
mm-hmm.
where you can cross-compile to other all platforms. NativeScript is sort of like the flip side of all of this, where we are trying to build this from ground up. It's been like 2 years in the engineering. So the goal is we understand how ubiquitous JavaScript is.
Of course.
Everyone knows JavaScript. It works fine on the web, works on your mobile devices, but it's hard to get it right with hybrid apps.
Mm-hmm.
So what if you could actually make native apps with JavaScript? So that's the promise.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to let you go cross-platform with JavaScript, but these will be native apps on iOS, Android, and Windows Phone.
So, okay, so now the question, how does it do that?
Absolutely. So there's a little bit of magic under the covers,
mm-hmm.
the little orchestration that goes on. So here's how you build a NativeScript app. You start out writing your business logic in JavaScript.
Okay.
Now, you have a choice, though. A lot of us .NET developers, I mean, we realize how JavaScript is important, but we are still a little hesitant writing JavaScript all day.
Yeah.
Things are inconsistent. So we love TypeScript, because that gives us type safety. It gives us a consistent API to code against.
Sure.
So you can write your business logic for NativeScript apps in either JavaScript or TypeScript. So you have a little choice.
Right.
Now, for your UI, you can keep in mind iOS, Android, and Windows UI are markedly different.
Yeah.
So we have to come up with something that's common, something that's the lowest common denominator. And for that, we picked XML,
okay.
which you might find interesting because XML maybe had a bad rap in terms of like data transmission, but in just describing a markup, it's actually not bad.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you come from a XAML background, like universal Windows apps or
sure.
Windows Phone apps, you're going to love what we built because it's been built by the same engineers who built the Windows tooling. So it is very much like XAML. You simply define your UI as a markup, as a visual tree in XML, but you do get benefits of all of the nice tooling with data binding. So let's say you want to render a list view and you have a list of grocery items. You can data bind to that UI and it's a two-way data binding. So your object changes, your UI updates, anything on the UI updates, your object reflects it. So you get some of the benefits of writing XML with some nicer tooling.
Interesting.
Now your question might be, how do I style that UI?
Yeah.
CSS.
I see.
Yeah.
So you have XML for the UI, and you said at the beginning that there's some TypeScript or JavaScript
mm-hmm.
for the startup, or for what part of it?
Well, both. So your app starts up with an app.js like JavaScript
okay.
thing, but then it's a very simple MVVM type pattern. So every view has a view model, which binds it
mm-hmm.
like observable, and then there is a model which actually talks to your data source.
Interesting.
So it's a very simple model.
That's the JavaScript part that's talking
yep.
to the XML.
Yep.
Interesting. And so it's like this new flavor of XAML, but with XML,
yep,
to build native applications.
Right. And now what's happening behind the scenes, like once you have written up your app, here's what we are doing under the covers of the framework. There is a tiny little JavaScript virtual machine layer that's on iOS, Android, and Windows Phone. We're actually shipping it with the framework. It's part of your app package. It's like 500 kilobytes or so. Mm-hmm. What that does is gives us a tiny layer which understands the bridge between your JavaScript code and native APIs. Mm-hmm. So you truly have full native API access on iOS, Android, and Windows Phone. We are kind of catching up a little bit on that. Mm-hmm. So let's just say in JavaScript, you write code like var camera require camera module. Mm-hmm. A module is a bridge. A module gets you access to the native APIs on every platform.
I see.
And beyond that, you can just say camera.takePicture. And we will translate that, what that take picture means, on iOS, Android, and Windows Phone.
I see, so it's like a shim.
It is.
That communicates between the JavaScript and the native stuff.
Exactly.
Interesting. Exactly. So how is that similar to Apache Cordova or different in this way?
So that's a great question. So Cordova, as we know, writes plugins. Mm-hmm. And Cordova does two things brilliantly. One is bundling up all of your web assets, HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, making it an app that you can put in app stores and Google Plays and Windows stores and whatnot.
I see.
But with Cordova, your all of your UI is really rendered on a giant web view.
Oh, it's really a web. You mentioned this at the beginning. That's right.
So here's the primary difference. I mean, Cordova does plugins to go into the native APIs. We do modules to go into the native APIs. And it's a similar bridge. We are using JavaScript to reach the native APIs. Cordova is doing the same thing, except the rendering is completely different.
Of course. And so you take these XML files with the view models, mm-hmm, and you make those, how do you make those native?
Absolutely. So this happens at runtime.
Okay.
There's a NativeScript runtime engine that translates, that first parses your XML, looks at all the data binding, and we have our own layout or rendering engine. And that takes your UI, and let's just say you're trying to render a list of grocery items. Mm-hmm. You will say, here's my list view, and you will describe your UI in a common language, that's XML, mm-hmm, and you say, here's my list view, I want it to bind to this collection.
Okay.
Whenever we see something that's common between iOS, Android, and Windows Phone, we will turn around and render a native list view on iOS, Windows, and Android, and we'll give it the data that it needs. If you use something that is not common, then it'll only work on iOS, or it'll only work on Android. But most things are common, it's abstracted out to you. So really the magic happens at runtime, where we just turn around and render the native controls instead of a web UI view.
So if there are controls that you've deemed as they're similar sort of things, NativeScript, what it's gonna do is it's gonna take that XML file and say, oh, it'll work on all three because you're only using stuff that's common between them.
Exactly.
And whenever there's something that's uncommon, maybe, I don't know if the compiler will tell you or something will tell you, this will only work on iOS.
Yeah, and we will tell you at the compiler level that this is going to be an iOS only thing. And maybe you do like if-else code and to say, if you have an iOS, this is a special control that nobody else has, we'll just render it on iOS, and you have like fallback plans for other platforms.
That's interesting. So when I heard NativeScript first, I thought NativeScript was a new language, but it's not.
It's a framework.
It's a framework for making native mobile applications with JavaScript.
Exactly.
So it's like the native part, but the script part.
Exactly.
Now I understand.
Yeah, it's not a language.
That's
and
interesting.
It's hopefully using the languages that we all know, JavaScript, CSS, XML.
Interesting. So where can folks go to find out more?
Absolutely. So nativescript.org, mm-hmm, is the home for all things NativeScript. So NativeScript comes in two slightly different flavors. It is entirely open source, like all of the framework that you get to actually build your app, mm-hmm, deploy it to the stores and to your devices, all of that is completely free. It's on GitHub. So the thing with tooling is you get a few flavors of tooling. In terms of IDEs, we really don't want to hold down developers to a certain thing, because we like to have choice. So what you're writing is really XML, CSS, and JavaScript. Mm-hmm. So any editor that understands those three, you can work with it.
Awesome.
Some editors do a better job, like VS Code on, like if you told me a year back that Visual Studio works on a Mac, I'll think you're crazy, but look at where we are at. So things like Sublime Text, things like VS Code are exceptionally good at writing JavaScript. VS Code is very good at writing TypeScript, so you pick your editor. If you want to have your day be in front of Visual Studio all day, you can do that, absolutely. Okay. So we give you choice of IDEs. What happens behind the scenes is which tool you actually want to use to build and deploy. So we start out with command line tools.
Okay.
And command line tools will let you create like scaffold a native script project, give you all the project pieces and your folders, and it will also help you build the project and then run it on an emulator or a device.
Is this like a Yeoman type generator, or is it one that's native script?
It is native script. It's custom built. You just say TNS, build me this project. TNS, deploy this project. What we do behind the scenes is all of this magic of, at the runtime, we figure out exactly how that app needs to look like, what the data binding looks like. So that's one way of going about it, if you just are comfortable with command line. But I mean, as we know, like Visual Studio has kind of shielded .NET developers from command line for a while now. But command line is really the only thing that's common between OS X, Linux, and Windows, which is why like you see ASP.NET team going all out on command line.
That's
and
right.
Like when you right click on Visual Studio, it's actually invoking the command line tools nowadays.
Correct.
So command line is big and it's making its presence felt. So you can do pure command line. Or you can do a couple of other things. Like if you use something like the Telerik platform, which is again our offering, where we try to cater to an end-to-end mobile solution. We realize that for you to have a successful mobile app, you need to do a whole bunch of things.
Sure.
You may need to design your app, prototype your app, build your app, test your app, add some analytics to it. Mm-hmm. Maybe you have enterprise distribution needs and so on. So all of that gamut belongs in a single product called Telerik platform. If you do that, you can build native script apps inside the platform, which is entirely browser-based. You can build your app entirely in a browser, or Telerik platform also has extensions into Visual Studio. So you can fire up the builds. You can start building your app, native script app, inside of Visual Studio. You can fire up builds and use the native emulators that you have for Windows Phone and other devices.
Well, cool. Well, anything else you want to add? Go to nativescript.org is what you're saying.
Nativescript.org, that's where everything starts. And it's an exciting time. It's a niche area that we are playing with. So we are building a lot of the rich tooling that you need. Like debugging stories are coming together. You can debug JavaScript very easily,
sure.
But some of the advanced debugging, like XAML developers are used to like debugging data binding. So those are things we are building as we go. But the fundamentals of it are actually there.
Awesome.
And it's ready for you guys to start.
Well, thanks for spending some time with us, bud.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for watching. We're here at that conference on the stage, and we will see you next time. Take care.
Thank you. We'll